Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Their new CEO, as you know, the ownership changed. You know that Josiah, who is the Alibaba guy, now owns the team. I'm sure you're aware of that now. If you didn't, I don't know where you were during the whole China thing. I mean, so I'm sure you realize that. So you had a big change here at the Barclays Center. Now the guy running it is David Levy, who is also connected to the fan because he sits on the board for Intercom, which owns the fan. So, David, welcome. How are you? So,
he's a guy. How you doing, pal?
Nice to see you. How's everything?
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, a big turnover here. How many months has it been since you took over?
It's only been 4 weeks, believe it or not.
It's only been 4 weeks?
Four weeks. And 1 week we were in China. So it's been 3 weeks here and 1 week
well,
in China.
Well, that was like a lifetime dealing with that because, I mean, that in itself, you know, having the – I guess was Josiah the first person from that part of the world to have any – NBA ties at all? Has it been an owner? He's the first Chinese owner.
I mean,
right?
Obviously,
I know he's from Taiwan, but yeah. I mean, he's the first Chinese owner of any note, right?
Yes,
I don't know if there
yes.
was a minority owner or anything. No, so he's the first guy took over for Prokhorov, who was like the secret agent when he was the you know. There were other reasons why I never came
That's
to the Barclays Center. It's my first time here, but Prokhorov, the day he took over the team, I interviewed him.
Oh, really?
Yes. He did an interview with me. He sat for an interview.
Oh, my God.
And it was like James Bond. It was like he really, you know, he had this image, the whole thing. He was a character.
He was a character.
Really was a character. And immensely,
but he loved the team.
He did. He really did. And now Josiah, I'm a guy who watches CNBC every morning. I like to invest, so I'm very familiar with Alibaba. I'm very familiar with Josiah. So, I mean, this is a dynamic guy to have
yes.
as an owner. This
it,
is a
– It really is.
I know people – wherever you are right now on Hong Kong and China, I don't care. Okay, I'm not getting into that right now because that's yeah. – you know what? I understand that's a very ticklish situation, and
sure.
I'm not expecting people to care. I'm not expecting people to be on one side or the other. I don't care. But this guy as an owner, forget that part. Is a dynamic businessman. I mean, this guy, what he's done has been unbelievable.
Yeah, and how he's focused on where he's building his company, Alibaba, and
right.
where he thinks he can take the Nets,
right.
Not just from domestic, but even on a global basis, and build his brand not just domestically here, but build it on a national,
was
global
basis. Was he a surprising guy to buy? I mean, did he come out? Was he a guy looking for a team for a long time? Was it known that he was
a guy looking for
a team? You've been around the NBA for a long time.
I have,
Turner,
32 years.
Was he a guy that Josiah
No. I think you're seeing a lot of these different teams, whether it's the NBA or the baseball or NFL. There's a lot of money out there globally, and there's
right.
opportunities now to come in and look at these teams. And the valuations are going up crazy.
Hey, teams are worth a lot of
money. And they're going to go up even more as sports betting becomes more and more prominent.
And streaming.
Because streaming, right?
As you know.
And Joe knows the opportunities
Absolutely.
Around digital
yep.
And the opportunities around social. And this is where we're going to build the team.
And Alibaba is one of the biggest companies in the world. I mean, it's basically, folks, the Amazon of China is what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
In essence, for you, the attraction of now. Let me tell folks, you were the guy at Turner all these years. Matter of fact, you
yes.
probably worked with the guy who brought me to CBS as a kid, and that's Kevin O'Malley. So,
oh,
yes.
I love Kevin
well,
O'Malley.
Well, Kevin was the guy who hired me.
Boy, that's a name from the past.
Kevin hired me in 1981 to come to CBS. They had just won the rights to the NCAA tournament, and they didn't have anybody who knew any, and they had just started college football for the first
wow.
time in 25 years.
Wow.
And they said – And I knew Kevin through a mutual friend, and he said, "Listen, I need you to come to the CBS because we need someone who knows college football and college basketball." And he hired me, and then I also went and did the NFL Today and became very close with Musburger. So, but it was Kevin O'Malley who brought me in 1980 to CBS.
So I got to tell a Kevin O'Malley story then. So, and probably one of the biggest deals that Turner ever did was the NCAA tournament,
sure.
March Madness, which we negotiated in 2010 with our partners at CBS. And our first airing of the tournament, which we aired all four games on four different channels with CBS in 2011. He was a consultant for the NCAA.
Sure.
So Kevin Malley was the consultant.
Yep.
That the NCAA was using for when they were out bidding for this process.
Because he had done every deal on the other side.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And he was a very, very good proponent of having Turner and CBS do this deal. So I don't know whether he was the only person, the reason why we got it, but certainly he was one of the pieces of the puzzle. And I'll always be thankful for what he did, because that was a turning point for Turner Organization.
Yeah, because my understanding was, having been through that, and I was at the network with the tournament. I did the tournament with those guys for 16 years, and you know the last 12 I was on air. My understanding was the NCAA was so much. They were so happy with CBS, but when it outgrew CBS, they went out and tried to find a partner.
They did.
Because they didn't want CBS to lose it. They wanted to find a partner, so they went and found you guys as a suitable partner, and you guys have teamed very well with them.
And we actually created a whole different concept around the NCAA.
And put Charles Barkley on every commercial in America during March.
Charles and Reggie and all the guys. Yes.
So that, you know what, it's worked out well, and then putting it on the – basically, you became, instead of them switching games, you guys, now you sit in the living room and you're your own switcher, because you decide what game you want
to
watch.
Well, they used to have regionals, right?
Right.
They used to have regionals.
Right.
And so if you wanted to watch Duke play the entire game and Duke was a blowout, you couldn't watch
it
because CBS switched
off. Switch it. Yeah. Except the point-to-point places where they weren't allowed to switch,
right.
Where the crazies would call up.
Right.
But you know how it works. So now you became your own director.
Right.
You just have your own networks.
So True TV, TBS, TNT, and CBS. We ran all the games, all at the same
very
time.
Very smart idea.
Yeah.
It was very smart.
It's evolution. And by the way, the sales organizations, the way the deal structure was set, was never, I don't think anybody will ever do this again. It was all pooled in. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter where the revenues came from, whether it was CBS or whether it was Turner. All the revenues were pooled in from an advertising perspective.
Oh, really?
So what that meant was, if there was a blowout game on CBS, you might hear the announcer say, you know what? This is a blowout. Go to TBS and watch that game. It's a tie score.
So it was a cooperative effort.
Where in the history of television we had somebody say, go to another channel.
Yes, and like, share announcers,
here.
Too.
Leave here.
Share announcers, which you did, too. So there was a very cooperative effort. There's no question. But it's changed a lot. I mean, now there's a lot more. There's a lot less competition. In the old days, CBS and NBC would never agree to they would never do help each other in any way in the old days.
No.
Now there's a lot of cooperation among the networks.
Well, there's relationships that are built over years, and a lot of the networks, they share properties, whether you're sharing the NFL or sharing the NBA or sharing the NCAA. So there's a lot of sharing of content and processes, and a lot of times the commissioners ask them to work together more closely, and that's what is happening.
Talking with David Levy, he's the CEO of the Nets and also of the building. What was – you had a big job. You brought – as an example, you saw what was coming. You brought a breach report to Turner.
Yes,
okay,
I did.
Which I know you did. You saw the where the business was heading there from that.
Social.
Social. Streaming, digital, the whole thing. You were ahead of that curve. What made this job attractive for you?
First of all, what Kenny and Sean have built here, it was the culture, the winning attitude with the team. I think Joe, being the new owner, and what he believes we can take this team and where it can go. This building is...
Did you know Josiah at all?
I met Joe.
Was there a headhunter involved?
Very interesting how I met Joe. We launched a product. I'm no longer at the organization, but Turner launched a product called BR Live, which is an over-the-top product.
Okay.
One of its first properties was the National Lacrosse League, the NLL.
Okay.
Okay. And Josiah owns a team called the San Diego Seals.
Wow.
And I went down to the board meeting, met Joe, and we stayed close for the last
good
2 years.
Good guy to stay close.
Yeah,
to
very good guy. And then when this opportunity came up, and I'm also a part of Josiah Sports and Blue Pool Capital, where we're doing investments into media and entertainment. And so the investment side, by using this infrastructure, we can invest in technology that we can actually expose in this building and prove that the technology works, and then use it in arenas across the country.
You know, we're heading into such a new world now. I said this. I was on Cheddar about 2 months ago. Okay, doing an interview.
Look at you talking to.
Okay, so I was there, and I told the guys that both people interviewing me were like half my age, and I said, if I was 25 years younger, I'd mortgage my house to buy an esports franchise. I said I would actually mortgage my house to do it.
Really?
That's how big they're going to be.
Yeah.
They are going to be that big. It's going to be enormous. It's going to be interesting to see how our professional leagues marry the esports, though. That's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah. We, you know, we're looking at esports from the Josai Sports perspective.
I think you should.
We're looking at a team as we speak. You know, there hasn't been a monetization strategy yet that has actually worked in the esports space right now.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In fact, I believe that there are probably four sports businesses that, if you're going to take a look from a global perspective, what's going to expand and grow. I think soccer is going to be one, NBA is going to be one, and I think esports is going to be one, and probably, you know, combat sports, MMA and boxing and things like that.
Right.
From a global perspective, those are the four, and esports is one of them.
Esports could have 100 million people watching an event. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
And but the monetization of it is still in play, because a lot of the money's made in TV,
yep.
And nobody knows yet whether esports is a TV property, because it's a digital property.
Yep.
So it's got to be made in arenas. It's got to be made. I think sports betting, peer-to-peer betting for esports is probably going to be a big opportunity. So I think the betting side of esports will grow. Obviously, if you own the IP itself, the gaming itself, you make money. But professional teams have to figure out how they're going to make money long-term. But I think peer-to-peer betting is also going to be a big opportunity.
What do you foresee for arenas? You know, it's fascinating. One of the NFL owners said to me recently, the hardest thing we're going to have in the future is giving the people a reason to come to the arena. You know, the game gets better at home. It's comfortable. Soon you're going to be able to call your own shots on TV. I mean, you know that's coming.
Yes.
You know, so we know the technology, the TVs and everything else. You're going to have to, he says, we're going to have to enhance the experience in the
100%.
Arena.
Consumer experience is number one.
It's going to be, what do you think is going to be the key to that? And as you, I'm sure you discuss it every day. Do you think it's going to be individuals betting at the seats? Do you think it's going to be
sports books at the arena, individual betting in the seats?
Yeah, little places in the arena.
5G,
to bet.
5G in the arena has to come in.
It has to happen.
Quicker.
Right?
Quicker.
Yeah.
Faster.
Right, so you got to wire all the buildings, right? But do you see that? Do you see the betting? You see the betting coming into the arenas, then, right?
100%.
I do too. Do you think it'll be that you'll have to get up and go to a little portal, or do you see it at your seat?
No, you're going to have the quality 5G in the arena so you can bet right from your seat. Mobile betting.
Right.
I mean, you know what happens right now in New York is, because you can't bet in New York mobile, you have to go to the New Jersey side.
New Jersey right now.
So a lot of people.
And soon Pennsylvania.
A lot of people
online,
get in their cars in the morning on Sunday morning, cross the George Washington Bridge, place their bet, and come back.
Absolutely. And imagine when it's in New York, which is going to happen, you know, sooner. I don't know exactly when, but, you know, there's people always lobbying against it, I know, but we'll see what happens. But you think that whole betting experience, which is now there, the leagues have now embraced it. They don't run away from it anymore.
And aren't you going to feel better that you're in a crowd, that you can bet in a crowd? I mean, you're going to have a good consumer experience in your building as this all develops. And then listen, food and beverage has got to get better. You know, paying for food and beverage, having a cashless system. All those things are going to take place in these arenas.
So do you think it is the betting going to be the biggest enhancement for the arena? You think that's going to be the biggest key?
It's one of the key pieces. I don't think it's the biggest. I mean, ultimately, you have to have a great experience. You have to have easy parking. You have to get in.
What is the biggest complaint you get from a fan?
Too early for me. I'm up every 3 weeks.
You haven't had that yet, right? That hasn't happened yet.
They've been hugging me since I've been here.
There you go. So, I mean, but, you know, the tickets are expensive. We know that, but that's in everything. I mean, everything, you know, Broadway, whatever, concerts. Yeah. Tickets are expensive for live events.
Yeah, but there's price tickets in this building where you can come in and get a good value ticket.
How are you doing now? You guys, when you took over.
Sales are great.
You guys were the worst attendance in the league, I believe, when you took over, right?
I don't know if we're the worst, but we were near the bottom.
Is it doing well?
Very well.
Now you have stars to sell, which helps, number one. You have big stars to sell. Yeah. But, I mean, that had to be worth a lot just even having – you know, you have Irving on the court, but even having Durant in fold that he's going to be here is going to be an enormous deal.
Yeah, we anticipate we're going to make the playoffs this year. And again, you make the playoffs this year, and then you have Kevin Durant the following year. You know, from a sales perspective, and you talk about tickets, We are like 72% ahead of where we were last year at this time. That's a huge increase.
72%?
Yes.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
In ticket sales.
That's now, listen, I would think it'd be large because of the star quality. I mean, listen, it's a star league, and winning is the, you know, people always say to me, you know, this franchise, I say, hey, win. All you have to do is win in sports.
It makes it easier. Makes my job easier.
It doesn't matter what it is. Just win. You know, that's
makes
it.
My job
it
easier.
Changes everything,
yeah,
you know. But I guarantee you that guys who want to come to you and get on TV every year, what'd you tell them?
Yeah, win.
Win. That's right.
It's so funny you say that because I have had coaches and I had owners
my
call me at
TNT. My team
never
gets on,
how come my team doesn't play? I go, it's very simple. Win, and you'll get on.
That's it. Why is this team always on? Well, they win all the time. Why are the Patriots on all the time, right?
They win.
You know, now there's a couple
why
of
the
exceptions.
Ratings better?
Right. There's a couple of exceptions. The Cowboys are a little bit of a unique team, you know, from that standpoint. Yeah. But the point is, you win, you're on. That's basically how it works, Golden State is the perfect example. That was the deadest NBA franchise for how long? Yeah. That was the people hated that franchise. They didn't even like to travel there. They didn't even like their players to go there because of the drugs in Oakland. Yeah. Do you know that? That franchise became the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah. No. Listen, there are strong brands that if they have a quality player that comes back very quickly. Boston is a big brand. And Chicago is a big brand. But right now, Chicago is not playing as well as they could have played over the past couple of years. But ultimately, what I love about the NBA, and this is true, they've got a lot of teams that have quality players across the league. And, you know, in football, the NFL, you know, most teams, because of the fantasy and everything else, they're going to get a pretty strong rating on any night on any team. The NBA is starting to get to that level where almost any night what team is playing, they're going to get a strong rating because the teams now have got quality things in every market, including New York with Brooklyn right now.
Well, the NBA has done, and we're talking with David Levy, the CEO of the Nets and also the Barclays now. The NBA has done an incredible job of marketing their players, much better than the other leagues. And I don't know why. For some reason, they have adapted the social media better than my, you know, my kids who are coming to games tonight are 12 and 14, my boys. And they know every sport, and they know teams in every sport, and they know players in every sport. But they know more about the NBA players and individual stuff, and the sneakers is a big part of it.
Yeah.
And social media is a big part. Those guys are on social media all the time, those players.
Yeah, that went back almost to the David Stern days when they used to do signed deals with the advertising for sponsors when you became an official NBA sponsor. Part of that deal is they had to expose the players within their commercials. It was part of the contract. And so you started to see players in a lot of these commercials, which they buy national television time, outside of a sporting event. You may see it in prime time on NBC or CBS or TBS or TNT. So that started early with David. And then what Adam Silver has done is been very open and allowing these players to use Twitter and use all these social capabilities, where some of the other leagues were sort of tight on those issues. And so that allowed the players, the NBA players, to get more comfortable using social and put them out on a global basis. And if you look at Q scores of who's most popular, you have soccer players. Right. And you have NBA players.
NBA players are all on first name basis with the fans. It's first names. It's all for, and that's how you can tell. Just
now, there's
first
an
names.
Advantage. I mean, you know, they don't wear helmets.
They don't wear helmets. But you know what? A perfect example. Look how badly Mike Trout has been, you know, brought to the nation. No one knows Mike Trout.
You could walk down. He could walk
best
down.
Best player in the world. Right. Nobody knows him.
Broadway, and no one
would know who he was. And that's the perfect example of it. NBA has done a great job in that. We're talking with David Levy, the CEO of the Nets. You have obviously come in, the team has come in, gotten Durant, gotten Irving. Knicks haven't gotten those players. The Knicks are in a very tough spot, and they haven't gotten better. It's a great time for Brooklyn. Do you actually believe, you know, being the second team in this town is hard. There's no question. I mean, the Knicks have generations advantage.
Yes.
And they play in the world's most famous arena.
They do.
They're the New York Knicks.
They do.
How about being the second team? And what do you think, there's limitations because it's Brooklyn and it's the Nets, or you don't believe in limitations?
I don't believe in limitations. I mean, you know what? It's easy to get to the Barclays Center, you know, subway system, things of that nature. I mean, ultimately, we've got a great team. If we win on the court.
Most of your fans from Brooklyn?
No.
Or
we get
Queens,
fans from
Manhattan,
Long Island, Westchester. And Brooklyn, obviously.
So you're drawing fans from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
So is there a predominant area where your fans are coming from?
Brooklyn and New York.
More
Manhattan.
Brooklyn. Okay.
Manhattan.
And Long Island, yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we get Westchester as well.
Because the LAR does come here, so
yeah.
That's part of
yeah.
it. Yeah. And obviously the hockey situation with yeah. that. With that. Yeah.
But there's no real problem being the second team in the second market. Ultimately, you know, look what's going to go on with the Clippers and the Lakers. That's going to be a great rivalry forever. I think the Knicks and Brooklyn is going to be a great rivalry. And there's enough people in this city and these towns and these boroughs to root for both teams.
What... As far as the building, how many days a year is the building active?
285.
285. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Out of 365, 285. How many would you consider to be...
I mean, there's concerts. And
how many would you consider to be major events? 285? I mean...
How many
is a major event? Like a concert, a major, like a sellout concert. How many concerts you have in here?
I don't know the numbers
a lot?
Of concerts. Yeah, we have a lot. We have a lot of concerts. I would say that this building... 120 of the nights are probably major, major nights. I mean, we've got, you know, ultimately we hope we make the playoffs and there's more nights of NBA
right.
games and things of that nature. And then you have concerts and other venues and conventions. And we have the NCAA and we've got, you know, the A-10 tournaments.
Right.
There's a lot of things that goes on in this building.
Was there anything that was a drawback that, is there anything that gave you pause about taking the job?
You know, there are three things that I looked at before I take this job. One was I going to have a passion for what I was going to do next? And I have a passion for the NBA. I've been involved with Adam Silver since, you know, he was even deputy commissioner and kind of grew up with a lot of the owners and presidents. So I love the sport itself. Number two was I wanted to make sure I wanted to work with somebody who I thought I could work with. And I spent a lot of time knowing Joe and spent some time with him over the summer and talking about his philosophies and what he wanted to do and where he wanted to build this team for. And, of course, getting KD and KI was huge. And then lastly, were we going to be set up for success? Was Joe going to give us the resources, the people, the infrastructure? And the answer is yes.
Is he hands-on? You spend a lot of time with
him? I am. We both he bought this team September 19th and I came on board September 19th. So we're kind of learning this thing together.
Well, listen, congratulations. And how long have you been on the Intercom board?
I was on the Intercom board 3 years.
3 years?
Yes. Right, yes. Good. And I love being a part of it. That's
good. Well, listen, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations coming to town. Thanks very
appreciate
much.
Thanks appreciate for having it. Me.
My pleasure. David Levy back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.